Today, the modernists, the philosophers, the academics say there is no truth because they don't know the living truth, Jesus Christ.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, we have an update on our lawsuit against the Southern Poverty Law Center and Amazon.
The Southern Poverty Law Center has said that we have the right to defame D. James Kennedy Ministries and other ministries that believe in the gospel and believe in marriage and morality. And Amazon says we have the right to deny services.
The dishonest SPLC is working overtime to silence Bible-believing Christians.
This is a very liberal organization, and they have an agenda. And their agenda is to come after conservative Christian groups.
We will tell you what they're up to and what we are doing about it on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. More than 2 years ago, in federal district court, we filed a lawsuit against the Southern Poverty Law Center for defamation because they included us in their false and defamatory hate map solely due to our biblical beliefs on marriage. And today, we have an important update on that case. The federal judge has dismissed our case against the SPLC. This comes as a major disappointment after 2 long years of waiting. But let me be absolutely clear. This is by no means the end of this battle. In fact, it marks the true beginning as we move beyond a timid and slothful district court to the Circuit Court of Appeals. From the outset, our board of directors has been determined to appeal this case as far as it can go. This is part of the battle of our times. This is a case where religious freedom, not just for us, but for all Bible-believing Christians in America, hangs in the balance. It is a battle worth fighting, and we are in it for the long haul. I recently spoke about our next steps with our attorney and board member, David Gibbs III of the National Center for Life and Liberty. David, I didn't think it would take 14 months for us to get back together again to talk about the Southern Poverty Law Center, but here we are, and it's 14 months since we were together in the courtroom in Montgomery, Alabama, making
Yes, sir.
Our case before the federal judge as to why our case should go forward. And now we have some movement. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we had, Dr. Wright, you were there. As a matter of fact, you and I sat together at a table, kind of alone. It was just us on one side.
I remember.
And then quite an army of lawyers. And boy, some very impressive, some in the academic, some in the litigation realm. Southern Poverty Law Center has a huge amount of money and legal connection, and Amazon, unlimited money to fund litigation. Attorney law firm from Seattle had been flown in and first time in Alabama. So they were waging a very strong battle. And we stood before the federal judge. And for folks that are watching to understand, federal judges are appointed for life. They can make their own decisions. And it was interesting. The judge we're before is actually the judge that at one point had ruled against the Ten Commandments and Judge Roy Moore.
Yes.
But he was very attentive and listened to the issues. But we have received a ruling from this court, and it's obviously been a thoughtful ruling. They went through a long time period and looked at it. But they have determined that we are not able to take this case to trial, that they want us to take it up on appeal. Now, for folks to understand what that means, the Southern Poverty Law Center has said that we have the right to defame D. James Kennedy Ministries and other ministries that believe in the gospel and believe in marriage and morality. And Amazon says we have the right to deny services. So it's really a defamation and a discrimination. And the court has looked at it and has determined that at this point, they are going to allow that to continue. Now, in my mind, this is a travesty of justice. And we have met with the board, and under your leadership, Dr. Wright, we have made the determination that this case is so paramount, so important, that it has to be appealed to the next level. Now, for people to understand, we're in the southeastern part of the country and our courts are broken into different circuits. We will be going before the 11th Circuit. Now, that will be a court up in Atlanta. Now, there's some good news about this, is that there are different ministries and organizations across the country that are watching this case. And moving it to the 11th Circuit will broadcast to the whole nation how this case is ultimately going to be decided or viewed upon. Now, we do know it could end up at the Supreme Court, and we've made the prayerful determination that we are committed to go all the way. Now, we do know that's very expensive, it's very time-consuming, it's going to require a lot of effort and energy, but we have corralled a number of attorneys that are expert in these appeals that are willing to help and to stand with us, and we know the donors of the ministry are committed to praying for this case. We believe God can move the hand of government, the hand of a judge, the hand of a court, the direction of a nation, and so we're asking folks to get behind this appeal effort because it is just so terribly important. Now, I do think people sometimes think, well, this case impacts D. James Kennedy Ministries. The reality is it certainly does, but it impacts every Bible-believing church in the country. I do think people need to understand, if this bad ruling is allowed to stand, and we're going to fight it every way we can, that this could lead to where churches are banned from the internet, churches are banned from services, Amazon won't deliver to churches. I mean, we could be looking at a second-class status for churches and ministries that would be mind-numbingly unbelievable, and that's where a case like this, if left unappealed, could result in a whole different nation. That's why we believe it's so important that people understand this case must be appealed, not just for D. James Kennedy Ministries, but literally for every Bible-preaching church and ministry in the nation. Well, one of the strategies that the other side is working is to outrun us. They're bigger than we are. They have $500 million in savings. They have a $50 million a year budget. We're just a small micro fraction of that. But in terms of being able to stand up, we believe with God on our side, we're more than conquerors. So we're going forward to win, but we need our friends, you know, our Gideon's group, if you will, to stand with us and to be generous in the fight.
And our donors have been enormously generous over the years, and they, I believe, do recognize the importance here. It is a question of where will people spend eternity. It is a question of what will the world look like. We still need to be faithful. Whatever environment the Lord allows us to experience, we still need to be faithful. But we live in a nation where we're given these freedoms. If we don't stand and defend, they could be lost in a heartbeat.
Well, and I would even go a little further. I think they're being lost and we don't even realize it. I often use the frog in the kettle analogy. You put a frog in cold water, he'll sit there, it'll start to heat up, and the minute it gets uncomfortable, gets too hot, he doesn't like it anymore, he's lost his ability to jump because his leg muscles will have been cooked. And in some measure, that's what we're facing here. We're feeling the heat, but yet we're not quite ready to jump, and then all of a sudden our liberties are gone. That's why I appreciate your leadership and stepping forward and saying, you know, this is a battle that's worth fighting. This is something that's worth doing. This is a message that's worth broadcasting. Because the minute good people say, you know, we're done or we quit, that liberty will be lost for many generations to come. We know it's ultimately in the hands of the Lord, but I want to stand before the Lord and said I did everything I could to give him the same freedom I enjoyed, and even a little more if I can, because the gospel's that important.
We are pressing this lawsuit against the Southern Poverty Law Center because at the end of the day, they are trying to silence the truth. They think that by labeling biblical truth as hatred or bigotry, they can marginalize us and make us go away. But they are wrong. As Christians, we embrace the truth because it's true, no matter the consequences. I'm joined now by my very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, the daughter of our founder, Dr. D. James Kennedy. Jennifer, I feel confident that your dad would want us to press this suit forward. Do you agree?
I do. Because, you know, he knew the tricks that Satan tries to use to silence the gospel. My dad knew that the difference between truth and lies was the difference between life and death. Those who work to twist and silence the truth whether they consciously know it or not, are doing the original work of Satan himself. But as Christians, love compels us to tell the truth. We live in a time when the culture around us will call us to declare ourselves, to take a stand on what we believe. They do it in order to try to ridicule and marginalize us. But what they don't know is that God's truth cannot be defeated. Here's my dad with more in this excerpt from his message, To Tell the Truth.
The children in Sunday school had been memorizing scripture verses, mainly dealing with different moral issues. But now the time for the quiz had come, and the teacher was testing their proficiency. And among the questions she asked was, what is a lie? Little Johnny shot up his hand. With beaming face, he leaped to his face, to his feet, rather, when recognized, and he said, a lie. A lie is an abomination unto the Lord, and a very present help in time of trouble. The problem with that, and I think that it's a definition that resonates in many American ears today, the problem with that is the trouble is usually soon over, but the abomination goes on forever. For the liar, says the Lord, is an abomination in my sight, and no liar shall dwell with him. A lie is a very serious matter, dear friend. Truth is the very substratum of deity. If God were not true, then the laws of his universe would not be true. And consequently, science would be impossible. That's why it never arose in anywhere else but in the Christian milieu of the Middle Ages, because of our belief in a true and rational God whose laws could be trusted. Otherwise, that which goes down today may go up tomorrow. And that which boils at one temperature today may boil at another time. No, God is truth, and God cannot lie, nor can he countenance the liar. He will not even look upon them. He will not bear a liar to be in his sight. Furthermore, Jesus Christ is the truth. And Pilate, the cynic, stood right in front of Christ and said, what is truth? And that statement so cynically uttered was uttered right in the face of incarnate truth. And today, the modernists, the philosophers, the academics say there is no truth because they don't know the living truth, Jesus Christ. God's word is truth. Is it not interesting that God is truth and that Jesus Christ is truth and that his word is true, but Satan is a liar and the father of lies? And Christ said to the Pharisees, you do the works of your father who is the devil. And therefore, we are either of the family of Christ and God, which is the family of truth, or we are of the family of Satan, and we are liars like unto our father, which are you. And I would ask you, plainly, bluntly, are you a liar? The Bible makes it very clear. All liars will have their place in the lake of fire, and no liar will be admitted into the holy city. Some of you today need to make a decisive decision. Which family are you in? The family of the father of lies, or the family of the Father of Truth? His works ye will do.
As you have just heard from Dr. Kennedy, truth is of central importance to our Heavenly Father. Jesus Himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's why our battle against the dishonest Southern Poverty Law Center is so important. They have made hundreds of millions of dollars playing a dishonest game, lumping together groups like the KKK and the neo-Nazis with regular Bible-believing Christians. And their goal is to silence us and you. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb takes a closer look at the dishonest so-called hate map of the Southern Poverty Law Center.
There's a lot of money in positioning yourself as an organization that's going to deal with haters who are in your neighborhood and haters who are around every corner and skinheads, and the rise of the KKK raised literally tens of millions of dollars based on that particular position, based upon fear and using white guilt and black pain in order to continue to raise this type of money on the basis of hate and fear.
Is hate on the rise in America? One might think so by accessing the hate map at the Southern Poverty Law Center's website. As of this reporting, there are allegedly 1,020 hate groups in this country. But before you consider heading off to the nearest bomb shelter to seek cover, critics note that a lot of this is way overinflated.
And they will count groups that might have four people in them as a hate group. I had talked to a guy who actually tracks hate groups for the FBI. He's a legitimate hate group collector. And he was pointing out that the SPLC, just, these little tiny groups. And some of these groups might be individuals. We don't know. The man, the dog, the computer, and the P.O. box. So they've done that all across the board, and they will count local affiliates of national groups, national Christian groups, as separate hate groups. Well, that makes the list long, so they've got 900 members or so on the hate group list right now.
The Southern Poverty Law Center lists David Duke of the KKK as an extremist of hate. And yet, just before him, they list David Barton, a friend of this ministry, who's a walking encyclopedia on America's Christian roots, as an alleged hater. Why? Because he happens to believe what the Bible says about homosexuality. After David Duke, they list David Horowitz of Front Page magazine. He's a former communist turned conservative. He helps sound the alarm on the threat of radical Islam. And for that, he's a hater?
Well, one of the tactics of an organization like Southern Poverty Law Center, when they want to get their agenda across, is to mix true haters with faux haters, that is, ones who are made up in order to set a particular agenda. And so the agenda of the Southern Poverty Law Center is to take people who really aren't haters, who have just taken a position different from their own, and mixing them with true haters.
We have long been taught in Christendom that cults will have a little bit of truth that will then be distorted, but that truth will draw people in. The Southern Poverty Law Center might be doing something similar, having a little bit of truth by labeling some of the KKK or the David Dukes of this world as haters, but then they stretch beyond credibility the concept of haters by including true patriots, true Americans, outstanding Christians within that false label of haters.
At one time, Dr. Ben Carson, the renowned neurosurgeon who is now the director of HUD for the Trump administration, ended up on the Southern Poverty Law Center's profiles of extremists of hate.
A leader like Ben Carson, why would they put him on the hate list? Is it because of what the man has done? Has it been because how he has served, not only in the medical community, but outside the medical community? What has he done? Or is it because of what the man believes, the foundation that motivates his life of service? If they have a problem with that, then that's what got him on the hate list.
This is a very liberal organization, and they have an agenda. And their agenda is to come after conservative Christian groups. And the way they do that is they label those groups as hate groups.
My friend, this could well be the defining battle of our time. It's not hard to imagine a public square scrubbed of all Christian influence. We are seeing it happen more and more as the left works feverishly to silence biblical truth in pursuit of its own agenda. And that's why we've decided that our conscience dictates that we take a stand on behalf of you, your children, and your grandchildren, allowing the Southern Poverty Law Center to get away with its dishonest and nakedly partisan campaign to silence Christians by maligning them as haters is tantamount to denying Christ's Great Commission to teach all the nations His commandments. That's why we are standing up in federal court against the SPLC and also Amazon, who excluded us from their Smile charity program solely because of our biblical beliefs. We are committed to seeing this battle through to the end. But it's not easy. The gears of justice grind slowly, and we do not have unlimited resources. Will you take a stand with us? Will you step forward to protect true religious freedom in our day and stop the SPLC from its destructive and malicious campaign? If you're able to give a generous donation to help us fight this court battle against them, as well as to continue broadcasting the truth, we will thank you by sending you an important booklet, The Southern Poverty Law Center Exposed. You and those around you need to know the facts about the dishonest Southern Poverty Law Center, and you'll find them in this important booklet. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. And if you are able to give a generous donation of $50 or more, we will also include the DVD of our groundbreaking documentary, Prophets of Hate, The Southern Poverty Law Center. This hard-hitting expose uncovers the truth about the dishonest SPLC, which has socked away hundreds of millions of dollars while stoking fear and falsely accusing Bible-believing Christians of hate. Their false and defamatory evaluations have been used by government, police agencies, and the media. But finally, we're taking a stand on behalf of other solid Christian organizations that have also been smeared, as well as for all Bible-believing Christians. We are pursuing every avenue in court to get them to stop their dishonest fear-mongering and to show the world their true agenda. But without God's help and yours, that effort will be in vain. So please pray for us. And if you are able, please consider sending a generous tax-deductible donation of $50 or more. We will thank you by sending you the booklet, The Southern Poverty Law Center Exposed, as well as the DVD documentary, Prophets of Hate. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. It's common in America to scoff at the idea of Christian persecution here. We're told that persecution of Christians is something that happens only in places like Iraq or Sudan, where Christians are routinely murdered for their faith. Of course, nothing happening in America compares to those horrors, at least not yet. But we also dare not let our guard down, despite the scoffers. Emily Gao of the Heritage Foundation has identified four stages of Christian persecution worldwide. They are social ostracization, economic discrimination, legal penalties against peaceful religious beliefs and activities, and finally, violence, often by the state or by civil society. Using that grid, we see three of the four steps of persecution already in place here in America. The social ostracization is encouraged by groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center and its false and tendentious hate map. And economic discrimination has followed. For instance, we've been excluded from Amazon's Smile Charity Program because of the SPLC's false hate group designation. And all of this solely due to our biblical views on marriage and sexuality. Legal penalties are already being carried out. Consider the state of Colorado's jihad against Christian baker Jack Phillips for declining to participate in a same-sex wedding ceremony based on his conscience. It's fashionable, even among some progressive evangelicals, to deride Christian concerns about the atmosphere here in America. But when actual outright violence is the only domino still standing, their objections ring rather hollow. The fact is, this is exactly what persecution looks like before violence takes hold. As Emily Gao says, religious freedom declines gradually and piecemeal, just as we see right now. This is why the ongoing battle for religious freedom is so vital in America. That battle is the only remaining bulwark against the violence that the shock troops of so-called tolerance will eventually seek to perpetrate against American Christians. But this is not a time for fear. God is not mocked, and His truth will prevail. It's for us to stand firm, trusting in the promises of Christ, our King. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
Weakening Israel through the BDS movement is really an outrageous act.
I believe that God may very well hear that prayer and forgive our sins and heal our nation.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.